But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are good to us. Lord, you've given us safe passage here. Father, we pray that we have it again on the way home. Father, you brought our brother and sister, the Art and Gloria, home. Lord, I just pray for those that couldn't make it in due to health and, Lord, bad circumstance. Lord, you be with them. You comfort them. You heal them. But, Lord, we cannot deny how good you are to us. Father, you've given us purpose in life, which is much more than what a lot of people can say. Lord, this purpose is not self-fulfillment. It's not for our own aggrandization. But, Lord, it is to help others. It is to be a service to you. Lord, there is no higher calling than to be a service to you and, Father, to be a help to others. I pray, Father, that you help this church forever be servants to you. Lord, we need you. We'll fail without you. Lord, help us to never forget that. We love you, Lord. We raise your name on high. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I don't know about you, but when I get in the car, I like to know where I'm going. Don't you like to know where you're going? It's like that old, was those commercials you see all the time, those jokes you see all the time. A husband and wife get into the car. Honey, where do you want to eat? I don't know, dear. Anywhere is fine. How about Mexican? No, I'm not in the mood for Mexican. Well, what about Italian? No, I'm not in the mood for Italian. And everybody laughs as though it's not the oldest joke ever told. I like to know where we're going. And the thing is that a church has a mission. It has a goal. There is a vision for God's people today. We know what we ought to be. We know what we ought to be doing. And we also know that because of all the help that God gives us, we have no excuse for not doing those things. We talked this morning how there's no limitations to you. God can use you. God can make you what you ought to be. He'll bless you with talent. He'll bless you with ability. There's people around you that can teach you and show you the stuff you don't know. When I say that, I'm not advocating, well, I don't know how to sing, so let me be the singer. There's a reason why I don't like being the song leader. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, God called me to serve, and I might as well do that. You're also not going to catch too many specials coming out of me. But you know what? When it comes time for us to sing together, Lord willing, you'll hear my voice, even though I'm self-conscious about it. You see, the point isn't that we rush into jobs we're unready for, but that we allow ourselves to be taught how to do those things. That we would never say, Lord, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you except for these things. Don't ask me to do this. Right? We think of Jonah. Oh, I'll serve the Lord. I'll preach in this city. I'll preach in that city. Oh, I love serving the Lord. Go over here. Oh, no, not there. Oh, no, not there. I was told by a pastor one time, never joke about where you wouldn't want to go preach. Because you might find yourself there. We need to be serving the Lord according to His vision. What's the Lord's vision? We know what it is for churches, don't we? Now listen, what God's specifically going to do with you, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the Lord gives you an opportunity to do this or that. Maybe He sends some blessing your way and you got to decide which way to go on it. I don't know what He's going to do this year for you. I don't know exactly the details. I know the rough stuff though. I know what you ought to be doing in general as a servant of God. I'd like you to take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Everything you do needs to link back to this. Whatever you are. Well, I've got a brand new job. Well, I'm retiring. Well, I've got to go over here. I've got this going on. I've got that going on. Everything you are is connected to that. That I would go everywhere and give the gospel. You know, we think this, well, you know, the Lord's kind of moved me over here, you know, and that's really important for me right now. While you're over there, give the gospel. Oh, I've got some family, there's a reunion, there's a whatever, I got to go down there. Go down there, give the gospel. Oh, I've got this brand new job, oh, it's so fancy, I'm in love with it, it's wonderful, fantastic. Give the gospel, be a good example. Don't you be a surly worker. Don't you go in there, be rude to people. Don't you rip those folks who hired you off. You go in there, you be a good Christian. And you be a source of the gospel. Everything goes back to it. I got to get groceries. You're a giver of the gospel. I'm at the park. You're a giver of the gospel. Whatever it is, this is our vision. Whatever it is, this is what we are called to do. What happens next? Baptism. We baptize them. We fill those waters. We put them in there. And we baptize them. Now some churches, they're catch and release churches. We bring them in, we baptize them, we pat them on the head, we score one on the board, and we say, oh, what great work we are doing. And then we dump that brand new Christian out into Gen Pop, and they do nothing with them but say, keep coming and keep up. No. What's the next part? What's the next part? What's the third part? We teach them to observe all things. We teach them to observe all things. When my children were born, we did not lay out before them steak. Here's some steak. Eat steak. What did we do? We gave them baby food. Well, technically, Danielle gave them food. And then what did we do? She would take fruits and vegetables, she'd mush them up in a blender, and we would give them that. And then after a while, we gave them finely chopped up pieces of whatever it was we were eating. And now I have to fight them off of my plate. Just get out of here. Now there's nothing they won't touch. When people come into the house of God, they need friendship. They need mentorship. They need someone to pray with. They need someone to be comfortable with as they're shown the ropes. Have you ever been, I think about the last brand new job you've ever had. What, didn't you feel like a fish out of water for days? Wasn't it better once you got with somebody you could get along with that would show you how to do things? They'd be like, hey, listen, this guy's kind of like that. Don't worry about it, you know. Wasn't that nice? It is built into the model of church building to have mentors in the church, disciplers in the church to teach them. Well, what about preaching? I'm going to keep doing that. That's what you're supposed to do. We get together for preaching. What about Sunday school? Absolutely, there's going to be Sunday school. What about this? What about that? We're not changing nothing. We're supposed to preach. We're supposed to teach. And in doing so, we bring that person along. This is what we do. We pray for each other. This is what we do. When one of us wins, we celebrate. When one person is suffering, we all put our hands into the mix. We put forth the efforts to show people and comfort people and be there for each other. The question then becomes, is what we're doing matching this vision? And we would say, well, there's preaching, absolutely. There's teaching, yes. And brother, when you preach, you give the gospel, yes. It's on our website, yes. But are we giving the gospel? Are we, while we are out in the highways and hedges, while we are out there running into person after person, are we doing the business? Are we the lights we ought to be? We looked at this last week. Are we the lights? Are we the salt? Are we what we ought to be? If not, changes must take place. I looked at the calendar. Bryce Page, he's got his ordination coming up. And I'll be honest, I don't think much about stuff that way. But I'm like, well, what wasn't mine in the middle of January? So I pulled down the picture book my mom made me of that day. And I looked at it January 16th, 2021. I preached my first sermon as a pastor on the 17th. 4 years ago. And I look back at those years. You know what the first year was? In my mind, panic and chaos. You ever watch that movie Bambi when he steps out on the ice for the first time? That is how I felt the first year. Not saying that I feel better this year, but first year, I'm getting to know people. I'm being careful with where I step. The second and third year, I'm getting kind of a balance. I'm being careful. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to change things, but there's a lot of stuff that snuck in. Conference came back. We did this thing y'all had never heard of before. Maybe you'd heard of it, but we never done before. And that was camp. And just whoosh, snuck that right on in on you. What was the purpose of those things? Because I believe that educating people, no matter what their age, is valuable. I believe that there ought to be times that family spends away from this world together and sit under good preaching and laugh in the sunlight. We brought the conference back. Why? Hopefully not for our own hubris, but because it was good to see people from all over the country come and hear preaching and hear preachers from all over the country. We thought it was good. We thought it would edify. And I'm telling you right now, that's exactly what it did. People come in. I get messages for days after the conference. Oh, brother, the Lord spoke to me this way. This happened. Thank you, and thank the church for doing all this stuff. Good things took place. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it, I go, well, 4 years have passed. And this year's been a little rough on me. And I've been a little distracted. And there comes a point where we've got to let the rubber hit the road. And we've got to hit the gas and we've got to take off. It is time for us to put a more marked attempt in our soul winning efforts. And I cannot offer you a program. No programs work. I cannot offer you trickery because salvation is of the Lord, not out of good negotiation. I can teach you how to give the gospel, but what I absolutely cannot do is give you a foolproof 12-step program for you to go out and work. I can't do that. I can't sit there and say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put this up over here, and that if we do that, we're going to have church growth. I can't promise you any of those things. But you know what we can do? We can develop tools to have a little bit more of an effect to make things easier on us. What I would like for us to focus on for the first part of the Great Commission is for us to have tracks that work, tracks that we're comfortable with, to be able to have available to put into your hands so that you may pass them out and go over the gospel as you go through your days. I believe that it is also time for us to establish a Saturday flyer distribution to invite people to the church. We would have it at the same time. We will run it as weather permits on a Saturday morning. Wouldn't take but an hour. We'll have to be careful where we go. There will be rules. We'll have to set some things up. But if we're not reaching out, how can we say we're doing outreach? If we're not talking to people on a regular basis saying, please come join us at church on Sunday. If we are and people aren't coming, that's one thing. But if we're not doing the work, what do we really have to offer God? Lord, you've given us a beautiful building. You've given us an out-of-this-world fellowship hall. You've given us people who know their stuff. But we were too busy to give the gospel. We were too busy to serve you in the way that we should. And perhaps we are just a little timid to change the chemistry. And I think I've made it clear that that's not how that works. Those who are not his will leave. As long as we hold to the truth and we allow no compromise, those who are here for wrong reasons, the wolves, the goats, will leave. But our job must be done. So there will be tracks that we will need to develop. There will be flyers. We've got door hangers that we will use until they are gone. We will keep track of where we are going. But the work must be done. Now, if you're sitting here today and you say, "Brother, we've never done that. I don't know how to do it." I have done it. I've taught classes how to do it. And we will do them here. And I want to apologize to you as your pastor for it taking 4 years for me to offer it. It's time. If you don't know, I can help you. If you know, but you want to take part anyway, good, because I'm going to rope you in anyway. It's our job. It's our responsibility. It is, as the Lord says, our reasonable service. The next thing, and I know that there's been much debate on this, and I know that not everybody feels the same way about this as I do, but it is time for us to pick up another missionary. I've got one in mind. I've been praying for 2 years. I've been asking questions for 2 years. I've been paying very close attention for 2 years, which is exactly what you do before you select another missionary. Now, I've got a theory as to how we can make it, how we can free up some money to get that. So don't worry. How are we going to? Just pray that my wild idea works. But it's time. We got missionary on the board, right? You look at the sign, Missionary Baptist Church. I love the Jameses. I have no plans on leaving the Jameses. That's wonderful. We host a missionary. That's fantastic. We've got a guy that we give money over to keep him in the ministry, to support the work out there. That's wonderful. We ought to keep doing it. But there's men out there who are in foreign countries who are doing an impressive amount of work. And they need help. And far be it from me to tell you that we need to hop into a plane and go with him. Short of us doing that, we can offer a little financial aid. We'll have to look at the number. We'll have to pray on it. We'll have to work on it. I'm not saying we jump in, but at this particular point, we've been dragging our feet for a while. And I can hear your soft, kind, loving heart say this: "Well, Pastor, you know, we want to take care of you." Thank you. Thank you. But we got to do other stuff too. We're good. Okay? We're good. We got to take care of people. And we'll find a way to do it and we'll work around it. But as far as outreach goes, we got to get something going in the missionary field. We got to. Now, baptism, there's not much I can offer you as far as how we can be better at baptizing people. I've been lifting weights. You know, you can't get the water source any closer. I'm sure there's a way we could hook the plumbing up. We've looked at that. But as far as that goes, the only thing I have to offer is this, is I have developed a course, a sit-down class. It lasts about an hour for people who do come forward for baptism, for them to go over the church covenant with me, what their expectations are, that sort of thing. I've developed that course. I've got it set. The next person who comes forward for baptism, they're going to go through that before we vote on them. That's what I have for you there. It's kind of what I've been doing anyway, but it's a lot more structured and a lot more purposeful. Leaving the next step, and that's edification. Building lives by the book, as my pastor used to say. The very first thing that comes to mind, and Pi Comes to Yours is the Bible conference. It is one of the biggest things this church has done. It is valuable, and it's a big deal in our hearts. And trust me, it's a big deal in the hearts of other people. But there's some issues that we need to address concerning how we do the conference, right? And listen to me here. Forget my age for a second. We need young blood in the conference. And I'm not saying this to shame the young blood. I'm asking for some inclusivity from the people who've been doing it forever. Because I believe there's a willingness. But there needs to be opportunity. We're going to change the way we organize the conference just a little, just a tweak, to make people feel more comfortable in being a part of it. That is, if we vote to do it. Number two, we need to look at what we're spending on food and how we do it. I forgot to ask, what was it? Didn't we hit like $8,000 one year for the conference? Am I off my mind on that? It was around $8,000. I want you to think about that for a second. And then I want you to remember all the extra pizza, all the extra noodles, all the extra whatever have you. I want you to consider walking into the storeroom and all of the materials that we have and in use. We never went through the stuff that we already had. Now here's, I'm not picking. We did the best we could. But you know what we never had? We never had a full understanding of what we needed per napkin, per meatball. We just did the best we could at estimating. And we took some notes, but we never took those notes and did anything constructive with them to create a system going, well, if we're anticipating 100 people, 121 people, this is roughly what we need with a small amount of leftovers. I think it's wonderful that we feed so many people. I think it's wonderful that we have so much food. But I'll be honest with you, at the end, I can't speak for Maris and her family, but at the end, my freezer can't take it. Here's three hams and 4 gallons of noodles. And there's a smarter way to do this. But you know what it requires? A comfortableness with letting go of what was. We are not King Solomon asking the Queen of Sheba to come over. Look at our fine linens. Look at the best hog we could slaughter. Look at all the... Get in here, get some preaching. That's our new motto. What's the theme this year for conference? Get in here, get some preaching. That's what's going to be. I'm kidding. I wouldn't fit. That's too long. We could be smarter. We'd be smarter. I looked at it. If hotel rooms... We got 10 preachers. If hotel rooms were $200, give or take, that's $2,000. And if we were to give every preacher $200, that's $2,000. Not great at math, but that's for some. Am I right? Where'd the other four go? It's time for us to answer that question. Now, I don't want to answer that question by taking a switch to anybody. We're not doing that. Progress is made with a clean mind. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to sit there. We're going to look at this going, how can we make this work without someone needing to take on a second job? Right? We've never been the church to have a bake sale to fund anything. So we're going to be a little bit smarter. And if we're smarter in that, we can afford to give $200 to the preachers. Why? Because we're not spending $4,000 on napkins and meatballs, which I don't think we actually buy them. I don't think the church buys the meatballs. I think Mike buys the meatballs. Noodles. Pizza. I don't think we need to spend $4,000 to get that one done. But the conference must be done. And the preachers must be there. I want to suggest this. That we have our Bible conference in May 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. I know we did it on the week prior last year. Financially, it makes zero difference. I looked up the cost of the hotels. There's no change. And the people over there at the hotels, they love us. And if they don't love me that much, I will find someone who will. I'm cute. Just the way it's going to be. We'll get the hotels good. But I would like that to be May 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. We've got a business meeting coming up. That wasn't today, was it? It's next week, right? Next week. We got a business meeting coming up. We're going to cement it, but I'm going to assume we're okay. I'm going to start telling some preachers that's where we're sticking it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it good. And we're going to train people while we do it. We're going to put some teenagers in there. We'll put some teenagers in there. We're going to get this church to where it can continue on for another generation or two. You know what the worst thing that happened to us could be? I mean, not the worst. You know what would be a terrible thing that happened to us? You pass away with all your knowledge, and there's no one to pick it back up. And we have to figure it out. We can't have that. You guys are in the education and wisdom part of your lives, where people should be able to come. Hey, this is how we do it. This is what we set it to. This is what the thermostat should read. This is how many bags of salt. This is how we do this. This is how we do that. The young people in this church should be learning this thing. And you know what? Something gets burned. If we have to throw out the entire thing of green beans, it's going to be okay. As a matter of fact, if you do ruin the green beans, I'm fine with that. They're disgusting. I'm fine with that. But folks, the dictator ain't coming to taste the taters. We do what we do to honor and glorify God, but if we are so hard pressed for perfection, we're afraid to let people in, it ends with you. It ends with you. The next thing, and this one makes my hand go, especially because of what happened last year. Last year, mistakes were made. There was some confusion over prices of things, and we ended up thousands of dollars. The way camp should run is this. If you come to camp, you pay X amount of dollars. It's $150 per camper. That's what the camp charges. I add $15 onto there, number one, for supplies, number two, to make mine free. Call me a jerk, but I don't think the camp director ought to pay. So that all that together should make... Ten of them or so should make mine free. And then after that, it's supplies. When we first did camp that first year, that's how it went. And then we decided to pay for transportation and to pay for the tuition for the kids to go. And that worked out okay. Beyond that, stuff started happening. Last year, it was T-shirts. Last year, there was confusion over pricing. Last year, there was all manner of issues that raised the price insanely. So next Sunday, this is what I'm going to ask the church to do. I want to do camp, but I'm not asking the church to pay for anything out of the general fund. I'm not. Camp will take care of itself. They'll pay extra. We'll buy the supplies. It'll wash like it did the first year. If you think that the church should contribute, there's two ways you can do it. Number one, fill out in your envelope, give extra. Number two, if the church decides they want to pay for transportation or they want to pay for X number of kids to go, we can do that. But right now, all I want is camp. I worked it out. $2,100 is what we would need to pay for every child. Not adult, child. $2,100. That's huge. I'm not going to ask the church for that. But I do believe in camp. If there's a way for us to do it without it touching our general fund, I will absolutely do it. And if we've got to do things to raise that money to make it possible for kids to go. And listen, I'm not saying that, oh, please, you got to pay. No, my thing is this. I don't want a paywall set up for kids to come hear the gospel preached and for this. So I'll do everything I can to make sure that the price is offset. My goal is this, that it does not put a bump in what we're doing financially. And again, like I said, if you want to, you can give. And if the church is that riled up about making sure we're contributing more, we can issue that down the line. But right now, when we're looking at our finances, I'm telling you, we got to be careful. So there'll be no t-shirts, there'll be no anything that could potentially put a wave, and we will have an outstanding year. I think our first year was an outstanding year. I think our second year was an outstanding year. We can do that without hurting our finances or even moving our general fund. So I'd like you to pray for that this week. There's got to be a way we can do it. Any money that is given, I'll just put it like this, any money that is given or donated would first go to pay off the vans. And next what we would do is we would compile the money together, even it out to where every kid pays the same. So whatever money it is, it'd be divided out between the children, and they would go. The next thing I'd like to talk about, you've already noticed. That's in your email almost every morning. What I've got is a good number of those coming your way. Probably a lot more. I really got into it, guys. If it irritates you, try to find an unsubscribe button and click it. You're not going to find it. But that's you know how you go to call to cancel your cable and they're like, okay, here's what you need to do. No, that's my way of doing it. But starting tomorrow, you're going to notice that it's gone from my email to the church's email. I'm the pastor. I should start acting like it. It's time for me to get over my youthful shyness. So we're going to use the church email. It also provides a little bit more comfort when we're dealing with people who are coming for the first time. I can send something through that email, and it doesn't sound like the creepy bearded guy sent me something. You know what I mean? I know it sounds silly, but it is a thing. If you go to a church for the first time and the pastor sends something to you, depending on your gender and your age, it may make you incredibly uncomfortable. Number two, it allows for accountability. That email address, Brother Mark has anything coming in and out of it, he's aware of it. If anything weird or fishy goes on, he'll have my back. And if I'm wrong, he'll have the church's back. Does that make sense? So you're going to notice a change. So don't freak out when you see something from home.b.church. There. My only hope is that we don't do it too much and it ends up in your spam folder. We'll work on that. But no, I hope that's a blessing. Just another thing to throw out there, just another thing to have done. The next thing, the Lord's Supper. We've done it once since I've been here. Why? Because I believe that there were certain things, at least one particular thing, that needed to be cleared up before I did it again. I will not tell you what it is, but I will tell you that I'm no longer concerned about it. But that does not mean sin may not still enter into the camp. It does not mean that sin might still be in the camp. But here's what I cannot do. We cannot continue to ignore an ordinance that God has given us. This do in remembrance of me. We cannot ignore it until everybody behaves. So here's what I say. The Bible makes it clear we ought to not take the Lord's Supper unworthily. So here's what we're going to do. Get right. The end. Amen. Get right. Well, brother, you don't understand. No, I do understand. When your toes hit the floor this morning, you should have been right with your God. Well, I might sin again. Welcome to the party, buddy. I'd get t-shirts, but they're like $2,000. Man, I just got in trouble for no. Welcome to the party. If only God gave you 100 different ways to avoid sin. You get it right. Well, maybe I won't come. get it right. Just get it right. How are you praying in open sin? How are you serving when you've got open sin going on? We're not just talking about the Lord's Supper. How do you get through the day? Because I'll tell you how it was in my house when I was growing up. My dad would come out, he said, Matt, by the time I get home, I want this taken care of. And if I didn't do it, you know what my dad would do? Take care of it now. He'd put the dad voice on. And if I still ignored him, the next sound I would hear was a belt flying through belt loops. That is the God we serve is a patient and long-suffering God, but He chastens whom He loves. Why would we tempt God to keep sin in our lives? Well, what if I sin between the home and church? You can't keep it in that long. If you can't keep it in that long, please join me in the office. We got some stuff to talk about. I got some hints, some tips, some tools. I got some workshop things. I got all manner of goodies in there I can give to you to keep your head straight longer. You got to repent. Well, hold on. What if I've got a really good reason? You tell God you've got a really good reason for sin. We're taking the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to put it on a schedule. We're going to do it quarterly. Now again, I'm not going to say, so you know to get it right, but no, you better get it right in the morning, and you better have it right at night. It ought to be well between you and God all the time. Now, of course, there are more things, some smaller things. I pulled out one of them, kind of got chuckled at a little bit. One of them that I have is the snow log. I told you this morning I'm particular. Now, why am I particular? Because I've spent enough time in court with people going, I slipped and fell, and it's your fault because you didn't salt and you didn't shovel. And I've gone about four and a half years without having to go to court because somebody slipped on some ice. And I'm really invested in not having that again. If you've ever done it before, you'd know. If not, let me describe it to you. I want you to imagine the most boring person you know in a monotone reading to you the phone book while somebody shoves nails underneath your fingernails. That's what a court case over somebody falling is like. They make it sound so cool on TV. It's not. It's boring. So one of the things that I've pulled apart there was I've developed a snow log. Whenever we do anything, when the plow guy comes by, I write it down. When I go out and I shovel, I write it down. Charlie went out, he did it, we wrote it down. It'll protect us. It'll protect us. Why? Because if somebody comes and takes every dime we've got, it sure is going to be just a little bit more harder for us to do the job that we need to do. Next, because we are trying to hold off from big projects, we do at least need to put another coat or a full coat of some kind of primer over the graffiti on the backside of the barn. It's coming out. And, well, from the road you can't see it. Yeah, but from all the golfers that come through, they can. And that's a reproach on the Lord. So I don't think it'll cost very much for us to do that at all. We can do that by ourselves. We're not going to get quotes. We're not going to have a company come do it. We're just going to take care of it quietly and pray that in the next year, I will have the ability to do so. Next thing that's going to happen, we had it before, we'll have it again, is a work list. A work list of things. When we have supplies that are needed, we've got another list. Hint, hint, if we need something, put it on the list. So we don't end up with, you know, 67 different rolls of something. You know what I mean? But we have a work list. If you're sitting there going, I'd like to do something for the church, I'd like to see what's going on, you can walk by the work list, say, aha, this needs to be taken care of. I'm a completely functioning person who can take care of that. And believe me, there's some things I walk by, I go, there's absolutely nothing I can do about that. If that's you, that makes sense. Find something you can. If you find something within your skill set, right? If you're not able, you know, to get up and do something. Please, 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 please don't. Right? I would much rather have somebody else do it than have to come out and shovel you off of the ground. I'm trying to be nice. But we need wisdom. We need to use wisdom when we're picking that stuff. So a work list. And then the last thing I would say is we need to find some way, in a cost-effective way, to repaint the lines outside. I know Mike and I have talked about that. There's a way for us to pull it off. I know somebody who could probably help us do it. But that is something I'd be interested in us doing. I'm not interested in hiring a big company to come out and do it either. Just at the cost to which they're charging and what we're trying to do to keep our project small, not interested. Not interested. Going back to our text in Proverbs. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. While we are looking forward to work and things that need to be done, we need to be following after what God has asked us to do. Because after all, service and obedience, they're best friends. They walk off together all the time. We need to repent of any open sin. We need to fix our spiritual fitness. We need to pray together and with a heart of unity. We need to attack the work that must be done. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If we are not right with God, we're going to have a hard time seeing His vision in things. And we're going to sit there and we're going to say, well, what's the point of this? And oh yeah, what's the point of that? And what do we really need this for? And before you know it, it's going to be me, the Gunnels, Maris and her family. And that's it. That's going to be us after a while. And I wonder which one of our three families gets to lock the door for the final time. That's harsh, isn't it? Ooh, that didn't sound right. I didn't feel right. It hurts my heart. But that is a stone cold reality. And if the Lord's got elect out there, you know what He's going to do? He's going to start another church out of a storehouse or a store. And they're going to go get Him. And we'll stand before the Lord and say, well, I wanted to use you, but you were too busy farming the church for amens. I wanted to use you, but you were really concerned that only the right people come to the church. I wanted to use you, but you never went out to go get them. I dangled them in front of you. I put them two blocks from the church. I put them in the next town over. But you were just happy to show up. Folks, that doesn't sound like you. And I sure hope it doesn't sound like me. We must do the work. And we must believe that in doing the work, if we do so judiciously, we do so economically, we beg the Lord for wisdom so those things can happen, I believe He'll bless the work. And bless us on top of it. And open to us the ability to do even more. But none of that happens if we fail to grab a hold of the simple vision He gave in Matthew 28. That we would go, that we would baptize, that we would edify. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, for any of this to come possible, for any of this to be a reality, we need You. Lord, what a joke to think that we could take this on ourselves, or the Father, it would even work without You. But Lord, we know we need You. And Father, I pray this, that You move each and every one of us to submit to You. That Lord, we would do the most basic functions of any church. Father, we've got good people, smart people, sound people, people with a heart to serve, people with a heart for the lost. We have the right kind of people with the right kind of desires. Now, Father, help me to be the pastor I need to be and lead this church in Your way. Lord, help us to take aside any fear, any trepidation that we may have, and help us to be a true, true New Testament Baptist church. For its name of Jesus we pray, amen.